All right. Well, happy October, everybody. We're into that month. Kind of an important month for our country, right? It's Pastor's Appreciation Month. That's what you're thinking of. Oh, no, you're thinking because it's my birthday this month. That's why I get it. Yeah, it's the 16th. And I guess other stuff are happening as well. So let's pray. We're going to get right into it. I think kids have already gone out. If kids who, I mean, you could stay through my sermon. You're welcome to do that. Off they go. No. And we're going to pray. And if anyone's seen a black folder, that's my sermon notes. I think the district superintendent has stolen my sermon notes. If not, that's fine. They only slow me down anyway. Father God, we just come before you. And we just want to slow ourselves and just be before you. Holy Spirit, we just set our eyes on you. God, just bless the kids as they are out there at Sunday school and right now as we come before you. Well, I trust you in what we say and what we learn, Father God. You use me despite my weaknesses as we just draw close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thankfully for me, The actual what we're looking at this week. Hey, Harvey! Woo! It's somewhat prepared. Thanks, Harvey. You didn't. Well, huh. I may actually look at it this week then. But thankfully for me, thanks, Harvey. What we're looking at this week is a kind of well-known story. We're back into looking through the journey through the stories of the Old and New Testament. After our 3 weeks away from that, our daily readings, we're back to preaching from those. And as you know, I preach from the Monday's reading just because I'm like, well, it's there. It's good to preach on, so I'm going to preach on it. And so sometimes that leads me into some kind of sticky topics, but they're good to look at. This week, it comes to one of the well-known stories of the Gospels. In fact, a story that you'll find in all four of the Gospels. Well, Luke has half of it, but not the full part, but it kind of is in all four of the Gospels. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. Let's see if the clicker works for me as well as it did for the DS. Of course, no. There it is. Oh, don't. That was my notes. Don't look at that. There you go. Okay. So, feeding the 5,000 and walking on water. Not bad for an afternoon with Jesus. Is what we're looking at this day. I'm going to use all four of the Gospels as I kind of relay this story that you know well. I hope you know these stories very well. Of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and then when he walked on water. Using all four accounts. I love the fact that we have four Gospels. And I love the fact that they bring a different angle to each of these stories. Some may say, well, that's not a good thing if there's differences. But actually, I think that's a really healthy thing that there are slight differences because they are all four separate accounts, different eyewitnesses, some were there, some weren't, of the life and ministry of Jesus. And so using all four accounts, we get a fuller picture of what went on. And so in this story, before we get to feeding of the 5,000, we have Jesus. Jesus and his disciples, who were well under his way in ministry. He was leading and equipping his disciples. In fact, at this stage, before this feeding of the 5,000, Jesus was sending out his disciples. They were getting trained and equipped into ministry. They were teaching, they were healing, they were doing stuff. In fact, Jesus himself, he had crowds following him. His name was just getting so well known. People were following wherever he went. Although, except for when he went back to Nazareth, which actually just happened before this story starts. He was rejected in his hometown. But ministry was going well, and people were flocking to hear Jesus, to see Jesus, to be touched, to be healed by Jesus. But in this busyness of ministry, sadness also happened because his loved cousin, John the Baptist, had been brutally murdered. And Jesus had just been told of this, that John had been beheaded, all for standing up, all for leading the way for him. And so in the busyness of life, in the busyness of ministry, this happened. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, let's get out of here. Let's go up to this mountain and let's pray. We need a rest right now, guys. We need to just to remove ourselves from this situation. We need to grieve, we need to cry, but we need to rest in Jesus. And so he gathered his disciples and off they went to find some time alone just to be with their Heavenly Father. But the crowds just wouldn't let them go. And so Jesus, in his compassion, even though they needed rest, they needed time to just be still and be filled by God, filled with compassion, he was like, okay, let's minister. And so crowds were just coming on. And Jesus taught and loved. Crowds grew to over 5,000 people. And the day went on to almost the evening. And the disciples, you know, thinking practically, were like, all right, these guys need to get home. They need to eat. It's getting dark. We need to send them home. But Jesus was like, no, we can deal with this. Disciples are, seriously? I mean, Costco's closed. I mean, we don't have all this stuff around. And so Jesus said, well, what do we have? Well, this boy with his packed lunch comes along, and what do he have? 2 fish, 5 bread. Perfect, that's enough. Sat them down, and as we know well, a miracle happened before their eyes. Each 5,000 person plus was fed. And not just that, there were baskets left over. Now, I'd love to think that those baskets that were left over were given to the boy. Because how cool that would be. He turns home like hours late. His parents are like, seriously, how long did it take you to get 2 fish and 5 bread? And he comes back with baskets full of the stuff. What a cool story that would be. But anyway, that didn't make the gospel, so we can't say that's true. That's just my version. But then after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus turns to his disciples and says, right, guys, head on into that boat. You guys head over to Bethsaida, and I'll dismiss the crowds. And so disciples, on the boat they go, and he sets them onto the water whilst he says goodbye to the people who came to be blessed. Now, interestingly enough, if you think about it, Jesus, who's God, must have fully known that he was sending his disciples into an oncoming storm. So just think about that for a second. We'll come back to that, in fact. So off they go on the boat, and Jesus at this time dismisses everybody, climbs a mountain, and he just spends time resting in his Father. Just spending time with his Heavenly Father, having his cup being overflowed, praying, being in that moment. Meanwhile, the storm has come and is rocking these disciples, who some of them were trained fishermen. So they've seen some rough seas. So it must have been pretty gnarly out there. That's pirate talk. And it was pretty gnarly out there, and they were getting freaked. They were absolutely panicked that this was it. This was them over. The ocean was just, waves were crashing, the storms were crashing. See, Jesus knew what was going on, and he had love and compassion for his disciples that he headed out there. Now, he's Jesus, so he didn't need a jet ski. He just walked out there. And so Jesus gets close to the boat as he's walking on water. And the disciples freak out further because they go, it's a ghost! But then they realize it's Jesus. Now, only in Matthew's account does it then mention that Peter, good old Peter, says, hey, Jesus, can I come out to you? And he's like, yeah, sure, come out. Takes a couple of steps, then realizes, I'm walking on water, we don't do that, and freaked out, and he started going under. Cries out for help, and Jesus reaches down and grabs him. Jesus then climbs on board and immediately rebukes and calms the winds and the storm. And all four Gospels say that then they arrive immediately to their destination. This great story, obviously it continues, but for now we'll stop it there because just, there is so much just to grasp from this story, these two stories together. And so just briefly, we're going to look at just 4 points that we can learn from this great ministry and miracles of Jesus. Here's the first point that we can learn from this story. That is essential to find rest. See, Jesus was busy in ministry. Disciples, busy in ministry. Not only that, that they heard this tragic news of John the Baptist. First response for Jesus is, guys, let's get away. Let's just take some time to rest. Life can get so busy, and we're so good at when we know we need rest, we kind of do the, let's go on vacation, and that's good. Or let's just put on Netflix, and that's good. And you might get some physical rest and emotional rest. But what about the spiritual rest? Some of us are going through a busy period in life. Some of us are going through maybe even a traumatic season in life. And maybe the only thing that you can get from this is the most important thing for you is take time for rest. And I'm not just saying go home and just put Netflix on. I'm saying take time to rest in Jesus. Take time to allow your spirit to be filled. You read through the Psalms and you've got Psalm 23 that says God wants us to be led to those still waters, those green pastures, to be fed, to rest. You read in Psalm 42 where the psalmist talks about how their soul is like a deer panting for that water, desperate just to be filled and renewed. Don't neglect that side of your being to spend time just in your Father's presence, whether it be listening to worship, in the Word, communicating with Him, whatever that looks like. Jesus is teaching a big lesson here in whatever season, but especially those seasons of busyness, trauma, disappointment, heartache, find rest in Him. So that's the first lesson I received when reading through this story. Now the second lesson almost could be seen as contradicts the first lesson, but I think it is separate. Because even though Jesus was like, guys, let's go and get rest, he still had the compassion, he still had space in his heart to love others. And so even though we may have some schedule things in plan, for me, I look at this and go, Johnny, do you still have time to be a blessing to others? Do we make time to be a blessing to others? It's very easy that we can even promote even things like a day of rest, like the Pharisees did, as something that we'd call legalistic. Oh, I ain't helping today. Today's my day of rest. Oh, I ain't showing love today. It's my day of rest. Whereas Jesus healed, loved, showed compassion. Now, there's always going to be a place where you may be in a season of life where you have to say no. Now, here's the thing. Jesus, at some point, had to say no. When he dismissed those 5,000 people, when the disciples were on the boat, I'm sure he had to say no to a few people. And you may be in a season where you got to say no. I got to take rest, and when I'm filled, I'm coming right back. But maybe you're in a season where you keep saying no, you keep making excuses, and God keeps putting a person or something on your heart to minister and to love on, but you keep putting stuff in the way. Maybe the Holy Spirit this morning is saying, no, it's time to answer that call. It's time to be a blessing. I want to use you. I want to bless you by using you. So that's the second thing I learned. Johnny, are you making time to be a blessing to others in your life? Number three, what I got from this story. Do we give Jesus an opportunity to meet needs, or do we always try to solve everything ourselves? Picture this. You're in a crowd of over 5,000 people. You're towards the back of that crowd. And you start hearing rumors that Jesus is going to feed each and every person there that day with just 2 fish and 5 bread. And I don't know about you, but I'm thinking if I was at the back of that crowd and hearing that, part of me may scoff and go, what? Are you kidding me? But another part of me would probably go, well, that's nice. Good for you, Jesus. But hey, family, come with me. That's all well and good that Jesus is doing that for those. God bless them. That's really good. But don't worry about me. I could provide for my family. Hey, kids, follow me. Let's go for a walk in the darkness. We'll find something. It's getting late, so let's hurry up. I don't know about you, but how many blessings do we miss out on because we don't give Jesus the opportunity to meet them? We're so quick to try and solve our own problems. Pride comes in. Oh, that's good that Jesus, you're healing and doing that for other stuff, but don't worry about me. I got this. You look after them and I got this. I don't know about you, but you've prayed for something. You go, okay, fine, I'll give this situation to God. But as soon as you say amen, okay, how do I fix it? How often do we actually allow the Holy Spirit to go, okay, God, I've given this to you. I'm going to allow you to minister here. I mean, think about it. If you were at the back of that 5,000 and you waited, and for sure it would have taken a while. It, you know, 12 disciples handing out for 5,000 people, it probably would have taken at least a couple of hours. But if you stuck it out, not only would you have been blessed with the food that you were given, but at the back, you'd have been able to see all the baskets filled. Wow, what a testimony there. And all it takes is, okay, God, I've given this to you. I just need to wait on this. Maybe that's a season you're in and you're praying and you're going, okay, answer. Maybe God's saying, well, rest, wait. Wait in me. So that's the third thing that I learned from this story. The fourth thing I learned from this story is sometimes, and I've highlighted the word sometimes just so no one jumps on me and says, are you telling me Jesus did this? Sometimes, and in this story, it did, Jesus sends us out into a storm for a reason. There he was, feeding the 5,000. Disciples are helping it. It's all good. And Jesus says, okay, guys, on the boat you get. Picture yourself as a disciple. You're now on the boat, and you're rowing across the ocean, or the water's there, and you're rowing away, and it's good. You're like, wow, what a miracle, what a day. I mean, he was healing people. He was just listening to people. He did a miracle with the waters. Wow, with the waters, with the food, with the fish. Man, what a day. This is why I don't do the acting. Jen does the acting. You know, wow, what a day. Why, I love Jesus. He is so good. Oh, he just, and he chose us to be the ones to help him. Man, he is so good. I worship him. I love him. Fast forward a few hours. Jesus, why would you do this to me? Why would you send us out into this storm? You think how often that feels like us. When things are going good, it's like, yes, Jesus. But then you go through the storm in life, whatever that may look like. How quick are we to go, oh, where are you? Why did you do this to me? I thought you loved me. Right? You can imagine them saying those exact words. But then even fast forward till to the end when they reach their destination with Jesus on board with them. And they're able to look back and go, man, what a day. Not only did we see feeding of 5,000, but also Jesus loves us that much that he would cross, walk over water to, in our storm, in our trouble, what we're going through, be with us and settle it down. Wow, what a God. How awesome is he? But they had to go through that storm to get to that place of going, oh, Jesus, thank you for journeying with me. Thank you for being with me in that terrifying moment. Thank you for loving me. Now, I'm not saying that's every story and every storm in life that we go through. But sometimes maybe God does at least allow us to go through a storm in life. So that maybe we learn that, wow, Jesus, that you are here with me. You do love me that much that you'll journey this with me and not leave me on my own. Or maybe we look back and go, why didn't I cry out like Peter did earlier? Why did I spend so long struggling to grasp breath when I should have cried out to Jesus? Why did I wait so long? Maybe we look back. But ultimately, no matter the storm, Jesus was with them at that final destination. Jesus got them to that safety of the shore. And I think, and I know this is a kind of a cheesy analogy, but that's kind of how I roll. But as I was looking through these stories, I'm thinking, you know, some of us go through storms and they're only an hour or two. It's like, good. Some of you are sitting here and go, but Pastor, I've been through a storm for 60 years. And the only thing I think of when I look at this and I go, but Jesus is with you on that boat. Have you invited him onto that boat in life? Have you invited him into the storm that you're going through? Because I don't know about you, but even though it could get stormy I'd much rather have Jesus with me in that storm than not. I'd much rather have him in the boat than not. And I know that as long as we keep him there, and Jesus says, if you remain in me, I will remain in you. So if we keep Jesus there, that final destination looks pretty good. Looks pretty awesome. And it may get rough and rocky, but when we know there's victory in Jesus, it means that we can ride those waves with him. Still crying out, Jesus, can you calm these storms now? But knowing, even if those waves are still rocking, that we have a destination with him forever and ever. So as I invite the band to come on up to play us for our final song, I just have to spend a moment or two in reflection. Because I know the busyness of day happens and we head on off. But let's just spend a moment and reflecting. Maybe we're at a place of God's nudging you and saying, you do need rest. You need a rest in me. Make that a priority this week. Maybe in your reflections, going, okay, God, I'm going to give you that time this week just to minister to me. Maybe that's where the place you're at. Or maybe you're just going through a real storm in life and it's pretty terrifying. Maybe God's nudging you and saying, bring me on board. Allow me with you. Let's just have a moment or two before I pray and allow the Holy Spirit just to speak and to move within us of what maybe he's just wanting you to listen to this morning. Father God, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the truth in the Gospels that you can teach us every time we open them. You teach us something new, refreshing and in you. Holy Spirit, humble us to open our eyes to your truth, to what you say through them. I pray for those today that have been going through a busy season, traumatic season, an upsetting season. Holy Spirit, I pray for rest in you, that they take time just to be filled by you, Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus, for those here, that our cup overflows. For those that maybe in life have been too prideful to cry out to you, that this be a day that we turn to you and go, God, I need you. I desire you. Come on board in life. It's rough. I need you, Father God. I thank you, Father Jesus, that you ride those waves with us. I thank you for the miracles in life that we hear, those testimonies of how you calm those seas in our own life, those fears, those anxieties, those stresses, those concerns, all those things. I thank you for those miracles and the testimonies that can just be sounded out in this room of so many testimonies of faithfulness of God, how you've provided and blessed. And so we ask for more of those, not just for ourselves, for our families, for this community, for all those, Father God, but ultimately to know you. Because even though someone may say they've had a plain sailing life, but if Jesus, you're not on board, it's worthless. So God, we do ask, ultimately, just that we remain in you, and you remain in us. We attach ourselves to the vine as we grow deeper into you, Jesus, and that no matter what storm comes, that we are anchored to you, Father God. Through it all, you are so great. You are awesome. You are faithful.